News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Now, it's International Tea Day, Ireland's missing national holiday, to commemorate the nation's favourite cuppa. News Talk reporter Sarah Madden has been asking tea drinking people how they take theirs.
It definitely gives you that lift that we need. Yeah. Because, you know, our climate is sort of cool. I couldn't survive without it.
Absolutely.
Why do you think Irish people are so obsessed with tea?
Well, what I enjoy about it is I can sit down and relax.
So your tea is your me time?
Oh yeah, definitely me time. It's actually sometimes the only me time that I get.
Yeah, my brother is the kind of strong and silent type, but tea is like his thing to make for everybody. So it's a real like hug, you know, it's an act of kindness.
Hug and a mug.
Hug and a mug, exactly. You said it, that's perfect.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
Hugging a mug.
Your brother, kind of, the
tea,
hugging a mug.
I do think tea is your go-to drink when you need a bit of comfort. Like, something terrible happens, let's have a cup of tea. Do you know, I love coffee.
Yeah,
but I don't go,
I
oh
agree.
God, someone's died, I'll have a cup of coffee.
Although, you know, you watch a TV program, something awful happens, well, I put the kettle on. It's like, yeah, that's going to help.
I don't know about that.
Really?
I think tea has a comfort. I think, in fact, I can't think of anything more comforting than a cup of tea
all
by
right.
way of food or drink.
Let us know. What's your most comforting go-to drink? And yeah, do you find tea a comfort in that situation? 087 1400 106.
Now, the time is just coming up to 7:49. A greenway in Dublin could transform the city, but it is hampered by a lack of political will. This is according to Eamon Ryan, former Environment Minister and Green Party leader, who joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Eamon.
Good morning, Claire.
I read your piece yesterday. I found it very interesting. In fact, I'm quoting, "It would make you cry, half a century to deliver a 3-metre track along 22 kilometres. Why is it taking this long?
Because I think a lack of political will in this case. We started about 30 years ago. A lot of people calling for it. It was Sutton to Sandy Cove, what some people called it, Coastal Trail. But I think the Dublin Greenway, Bay Greenways is probably the best name. And we started 30 years ago on the north side. People know the city now, kind of from Bull Island onwards. It's since gone in, but it was delayed for years because of lack of support in the council particularly. But now we've put it in, I don't think anyone would reverse. It's hugely popular, hugely successful. It helps people get to work, to school, out in leisure. Similarly on the south side, and I can remember this, I was involved 25, 30 years ago now. If people know, the section south of Black Rock is fantastic. During COVID it was put in. It's been transformed, in my mind, Dunleary. But there's a bottleneck point there, Black Rock Dart Station, where you're in a real pinch point, so less than a metre wide. And it's a killer for people who want to use an end-to-end route. And lastly, in terms of the sections that are not built, the section from Bootistown to the Alfie Byrne Road to Clontarf is the last bit that has to go in. And that's been stuck similarly in legal battles. Strand Road, 5 years ago, I was in government supporting it. We went to build a section on the Strand Road. A High Court decision said no. It took 4 years for that to be reversed in the Court of Appeal. And now at last, we're ready to build the missing link. Dublin Port are also about next year, they'll open a section from the Alfie Byrne Road to the Eastlink Bridge. So all that's missing is that section on the south side where you'd get an end-to-end spectacular, you could cycle around the bay, walk around the bay. And just as we're at the point where, OK, now we can build the whole thing 30 years on, the councillors are saying, or some councillors are saying, well, hold on a second now, maybe we should wait until flood protection works come in. I think that could take up to 10, 20 years. And so that's why I was saying it would be almost a half a century before the route is completed. And that is a problem in my mind, primarily of political will.
OK. And I'm familiar with all of this because actually on Paddy's Day of this year, I walked from Howth to Dunleary along that exact route. And I know exactly the pinch points you're talking about because there were the bits you kind of ended up back on almost on the road and all that sort of stuff. And it's beautiful. And I fully agree with you. But you're saying a lack of political will. With respect, Eamon, you were the Minister for Transport. You're the Green Party leader and you're the third most senior politician in the last government. You know, if there was something that should have been done politically, surely you would have been in a position to make this happen.
Yeah, and we did. We provided a huge amount of funding to councils.
Because this timeline does sound crazy when you lay it out.
It is. But we provided a huge amount of funding and staff for councils right across the country, not just in Dublin. We have an independent legal system. When a High Court makes a decision, even as a minister, you can't overturn that.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, really, because you're clearly keen on it. As I say, you were extremely senior in government. you might say a lack of political will, but you were politically in favour of it. What is wrong with our system that we can't just make things happen? Because it strikes me when you iterate those things, you know, 4 years here, 5 years there, 7 years here, holding this up, there's something very wrong. Any right-minded person would go, that's ridiculous.
I think two things. Firstly, I do think our political system is very attentive to local concerns. That's a good thing. But it often...
Is it?
Well, yes, because it means people are connected to their political system. But it tends to be very attentive to people who are opposing something. Whereas there may be what I would call the silent majority who want something. I think the vast majority of people in Dublin can see the sense if you had a really beautiful greenway around the bay. But that silent majority is by its very nature silent. And therefore, the short-term decision politically is,
the tail is wagging the opposition.
Yeah. The second issue, I think, and this is one maybe looking forward more than back, I think we need to start allocating funding in a way where we really prioritise those councils that are willing to be brave, ambitious, fast, and to push low-cost solutions. I think the alternative is, and I'm worried in the programme for government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael said they want to bring the decision-making back around how you allocate back to the minister. That's a recipe in my mind for one for everyone in the audience. Little bits of funding here, there and everywhere. I think we're best now targeting the funding we do have to those councils who are willing to be ambitious. And ultimately, this has to be decided at a local level. You can't force through projects like this just from the centre. You have to have local councils who are willing to do it. That's why Dunleary worked. Why that section south of Blackrock worked was because you had a local community group who were supportive and very active and vocal. You had an enthusiastic council and you had some very good local officials. And I think if we back that up with saying to those officials and those councils, we're going to fund you, you're going to get the lion's share of the funding, then I think we'll get over this impasse in this country, which makes it so difficult to build things.
Yeah, and it does seem to be very difficult. And it does seem that people who object carry too much sway to things that it would actually benefit communities. Before I let you go, really interesting story in the front of the Irish Independent this morning. A senior county council manager in Mayo calling for a boycott of holiday home owners. He says he would like to see avoiding of patronage of businesses or services owned by these absentee landlords, refusing to engage with holiday home owners in the communities, public campaigns, posters and community meetings encouraging solidarity to boycott these landlords, and social pressure, including local resolutions demanding council that they want accountability from people with holiday homes. Boycotting holiday homeowners, what do you make of it?
I can understand the concerns of that official, because it is, particularly maybe in the winter and you're in a community and you look around and you see none of the lights are on. That, you know, so many of the houses are just empty and are not fully used. And I think that is a real issue, particularly along the West Coast or the popular tourist areas. One thing from my own experience, so I holiday a lot in the West. We rent rather than having a second home.
Yeah, one but off reason, a holiday home owner, I've no doubt.
And one of the reasons I find that so much better is when I get down holidays, I'm straight onto holidays. I see friends who own the house and they're up cleaning the gutters, they're out fixing, they're cutting the grass, painting the wall. I prefer in many ways where you can go.
But do bear in mind what you're saying. You holiday in the West and so do loads of people and it's a lovely thing to do. I've no doubt you spend money in the pubs and the restaurants and the shops and you pay money to somebody who owns a holiday home down there. If that all changes, I'm not sure that those holiday homes will all be filled up immediately with people who want to live in those areas.
You know, tourism is a big part, important part. But we also can't have a situation where young people locally are frozen out of the property market. It's not just in Dublin or Galway or Limerick or Cork where that's a problem. There are parts, particularly the most attractive parts of west of Ireland and rural areas, where actually young people can't get a home. And if you don't have a local community, the very reason to visit the place is diminished in the first place.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Eamon Ryan, their former Environment Minister and Green Party leader. Let us know what you think.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.